All right, remember, the machine knows if you're lying. First statement, Carvana will give you a real offer on your car all online.
False.
True, actually. Oh. You can sell your car in minutes.
False? That's gotta be...
True again. Carvana will pick up your car from your door, or you can drop it off at one of their car vending machines.
Sounds too good to be true, so true!
Finally caught on. Nice job. Honesty isn't just their policy, it's their entire model. Sell your car today, too.
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.
Hello, and welcome to this new show called Ayurveda, the Science of Life, on UK Health Radio. My name is Dr. Oscar Adukon. I'm working as an Ayurvedic practitioner in Belfast, Northern Ireland, following a career working as a GP, family doctor, throughout the UK and Ireland. In this show, I will introduce the listener to the ancient system of medicine known as Ayurveda, which is still in use today and growing in popularity worldwide. I will explain the origins and principles of Ayurveda and give clear, simple, understandable explanations for how it can work in our modern lives. I will discuss how Ayurveda can connect us to our own nature, as well as the wider world of nature around us. We are all part of nature and need to restore these connections in our daily lives. I will interview like-minded therapists and health experts to discuss their approach to health and wellness and how it connects with Ayurveda. This show aims to reflect the growing move away from the narrow confines of conventional medicine to a deeper, more holistic and personalized view of health and wellness. Ayurveda is a nature-based system which uses food, simple herbal remedies, daily practices, and herbal-based medications to achieve balance of body and mind. So much of the root cause of illness today are caused by our digestion and lifestyle. Ayurveda teaches us that everything we do in our lives has an effect upon our well-being and health. On this show, I hope to teach you and show you how learning about Ayurveda will benefit you and your health now and into the future. So on today's show, I would like to discuss what Ayurveda teaches us about autumn vegetables and how, with this understanding, we can stay balanced at this junction or this transition point of the seasons. You think of summer into autumn, and then moving on later in the year of autumn into winter, that those two transition phases that occur at this time of the year. It's like autumn can be thought of as like a midpoint in the year, even though it's not technically in the calendar year. And in this episode, I'm going to discuss what I like to call the magic of autumn, or autumn's alchemy. Think of it like a journey or a voyage into the Ayurvedic qualities and the tastes of the fall vegetables, or the vegetables that are available at this time of the year. And at the end of this show, you should have a greater understanding how vegetables such as pumpkin, gourd, spinach, sweet potato, and beetroot, they bring balance to both vata and pitta doshas during these months as we head into winter. On a previous show, I have described the ancient Ayurvedic principles that underpin the teaching around the effects of food. And these are the principles of rasa, which is the Sanskrit word for taste, guna, which is the Sanskrit word for quality, virya, which is difficult to describe, but more like the energetic effect of food in terms of particularly the heating and cooling effects, and what's called the paka, which is the post-digestive effect of food. So how you feel 2 or 3 hours after eating food and beyond. And by doing so, Ayurveda has explained how seasonal eating restores harmony, promotes vitality and inner calm of the mind even, because our food does have an effect on our mind, on our mental state as well. And they've understood this for thousands of years. They've described it, they've recorded it. So it's a very ancient and valuable source of wisdom for us to look back and refer to at these times, particularly when we struggle so much with our digestion, which is a key factor in our overall health. Now, when I look out the window today, I see an overcast, windy day with changeable weather. We are deep into autumn now in Ireland, in the north of Ireland where I live, and in the UK in general.
and the other part of you.
And as the sun begins to set earlier, and the trees turn golden, the earth begins its slow turn inward towards the end of the year. And autumn can be thought of, it arrives not in a rush, but as a type of a quiet transition. I liken it to a pause in the year between the intensity and heat of summer and the stillness and cold of winter. Now, in the Ayurvedic calendar, this season, it's regarded, it bridges, or it as I said, it's like a midpoint between the summer, which is called the Sharad Ritu, and the winter, which is called Hemant Ritu. So it's a bridging season. And it's a time when the moist heat of the Pitta Dosha and summer begins to settle and work out of our system, and the dry and light movement of the Vata Dosha, or the dosha associated with autumn, begins to increase both in our bodies and in our mind. And this is how, especially for those with a Vata constitution or someone with Vata traits, between constitution in general in terms of the physical and the body, and traits in terms of the psychological and the mental and makeup of a person. Now, Ayurvedic wisdom reminds us once again that our inner world, or what we call our microcosm, that this mirrors or reflects the outer world or the macrocosm. And this is a fundamental principle of Ayurveda as well, that we reflect nature in our body and in our mind. Now, in autumn, when the air becomes cool and dry and the winds increase, our skin may lose moisture. I noticed my daughter, who suffers from eczema, is starting to get little flaky patches around her her eyes, where she not gets my eczema because of the change in this weather. Our digestion may fluctuate. It may become a little bit more erratic. And our thoughts may scatter and become a bit disorganized, just like the leaves in an autumn wind we see around us these days. And this is not strictly an imbalance. It is an invitation from nature to reorientate us to the center, to the universe, and to the world around us. So, like I said earlier, like nature, we reflect these seasonal changes in our own body systems, in the physical and the psychological way. So we manifest them, or we show them, and we experience them. Now, autumn teaches us balance through the nourishment we get from our food, the warmth that it gives us, and how it helps us reestablish our daily circadian rhythms as we look forward to it, how the pattern of the day changes as we go into the shorter days, longer nights. And the vegetables that we grow to harvest in this season, for instance, pumpkin, gourd, spinach, beetroot, sweet potatoes, and many others, are not just random gifts of nature. They grow at this time for this reason. And we can think of them as the earth's offering to us to pacify our vata and to cool the residual fires of pitta that we might have brought in from the summer season, this excess heat and inflammation that may be still present in our bodies. Their sweetness, their earthiness, these qualities and the grounding energy that they have from particularly root vegetables, they're essential for us to stay balanced at this time of seasonal change and transition. So now you're beginning to maybe get an idea of the types of vegetables, of the qualities, the properties, the effects they have upon us, and the reasons they are helpful. The reason this is so helpful for us at this time of the year. So in order to fully understand how these foods work to achieve these goals, I need to refresh some basic Ayurvedic teachings, and I'll keep it fairly brief and simple for the purposes of illustration. I will explore and discuss the Ayurvedic wisdom hidden within these vegetables using these four key concepts. Once again, their rasa, their taste, their guna, their qualities, their virya, which is their cooling or heating effect, and their vipaka, which is called is regarded as a post-digestion effect. It occurs about a couple of hours, within 2 to 3 to 4 hours after a meal. And it can occur at different stages of the digestive tract. We may notice them if we're being aware of it. The vegetables I will discuss in this episode will have specific effect in each of these areas, and I will refer to these concepts again and again. So in Ayurveda, food is described through the six rasas. These are sweet, sour, salty, bitter, pungent, and astringent. And each of these tastes carry specific energetic properties that will influence the doshas. These are vata, which is made up of the air and space elements, pitta, which is made up of the fire and water element, and kapha, which is made up of the earth and water element. And we are made up of these three elements in different combinations, which is determined at conception. And this is our natural self, our true dosha balance. And what happens in Ayurveda, we understand illness or disorder or disease as when these doshas go out of balance within our constitution, either our physical or our psychological constitution, or sometimes both, very often both. In autumn, as I discussed, the predominant dosha is vata, with the qualities of dry, cold, light, mobile, subtle, and rough. So when we think about remaining balanced, if these qualities are increasing within us, we think about bringing in the opposite qualities. So to remain balanced at this time of the year, we seek the opposite qualities, which are warmth, moisture, heaviness, stability, and smoothness or oiliness or unctuousness as well, to combat the roughness and the dryness. And as well in the tastes, we think about the sweet, sour, and salty tastes, which are balancing to vata. They help anchor, ground, and nourish us. The bitter, astringent, and overly pungent food, if we consume those too much, they can aggravate vata or increase vata expression within us. And this can sometimes lead to excess vata, leads to anxiety, dryness in the skin, or irregular erratic digestion, which is like a fire, a cooking stove that's just fluttering on and off, too high and too low, not regular. And this is the simple principle in Ayurveda. We need to eat in opposition to the dominant season qualities. We need to remain balanced. And this is a foundation of what's called ritucharya. Now, charya is the word for routine, and ritu is the word for season. So the point being in Ayurveda that we have a seasonal discipline that we try and adhere to as much as possible to stay in rhythm with nature's innate intelligence. So the macrocosm and the microcosm are in synchrony. Now, I'll leave it just for now to have a little time to reflect on what I've covered, and I'll come back in the next part of the show and discuss some of these autumn vegetables and their effects in terms of their taste, their qualities, their energetics, their food energetics, and even their post-digestives. So how they work, in other words, through an Ayurvedic lens or an Ayurvedic teaching. I'll see you back in a few minutes.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Okay, welcome back to the show, Ayurveda, the Science of Life. And in today's show, it's topical for the time of year that we're in right now in the Northern Hemisphere of autumn, where it's a changeable season. We're moving between summer and autumn, and then autumn moves, then later in the year between autumn and winter. And how, within this changeable weather and season, that we need to be mindful that we reflect nature, in our habits and in our food choices particularly. And Ayurveda has always taught the virtue and importance of what's called ritucharya, which is maintaining a seasonal discipline in our lives, habits and foods. And particularly this time of the year, when we think of the foods that are harvested, we're looking at these vegetables that I'm talking about today: pumpkin, beetroot, sweet potato, gourd, and so on. And so what I'd like to do in this second part of the show is to briefly run through some of these vegetables and there and explain how they would work to help us to be balanced this time of the year, when the Vata dosha of air and space is more prevalent, is more dominant within our systems. So let's start with the quintessential vegetable of autumn, which is the pumpkin. Now, the pumpkin, of course, has been hijacked in so many ways with the Halloween festival, and this is a shame in so many ways because we don't appreciate the pumpkin as much as we should. Perhaps in America they have more of an affinity for it because it was one of the vegetables they discovered when they went over to America in the 1600s and before. The Native Americans were cultivating pumpkin. They haven't seen it before. So they have a long attachment to Thanksgiving and so on with the pumpkin, and they've found many different ways to make different pumpkin recipes. And in Ayurveda, pumpkin is also a very venerable and respected vegetable, despite the fact that it's not an endemic or not been grown in the Indian subcontinent or not part of their native cuisine going back thousands of years. They have similar types of vegetables in the gourd, and they have examined and recorded the properties of the pumpkin in relation to its tastes, its qualities, its energetics. We think of it like the sweet medicine of transition. A pumpkin, if you just imagine it and close your eyes and think how round and golden it is, that it embodies the energy of the autumn sun, which, as you know, these days can be going quite low in the sky, but it's still quite powerful nonetheless, even though we're going into the end of the year. So an energy that's soft yet steady. It's not bright and red and intense like the tomato. More softer and golden hued, I like to think of it. Now, in terms of the pumpkin's taste or its rasa, in Sanskrit it's described as madura, which means sweet. Its quality or guna is lagu, which means light. So sweet and light. And it's also regarded as having a quality of snigda, which means unctuous or lubricating in a way. And its energetics or virya, or its potency, its kind of immediate effect, is shita or cooling. So if we can just stop and think about these for a little while, sweetness is a heavy taste. Lightness is a quality that it has, and oiliness or unctuousness is like a heavy taste, a heavy quality, should I say. And the virya is cooling. So it has a combination of effects that are balancing within the one vegetable. And its vipaka, or its late effect after digestion, is regarded as sweet. So we can see light, sweet and cooling predominantly as the effects it would have on our body. Now, pumpkin then is regarded as pacifying both pitta and vata, but in excess it can mildly increase kapha because of maybe the unctuous quality and because of the sweetness, and it can be cooling as well. And these qualities or tastes will increase kapha a little bit, but we can compensate for that by use of the spices to balance the kapha. So its cooling nature then is has the effect of calming the digestive fire. So kind of not so much regulating it, but preventing it getting out of control. While its sweetness, then we think of it as nourishing this essence of vitality which is what is produced at the end stage of digestion, which is called your ojas, O-J-A-S. And this is the subtle essence of vitality, and it's part of what we need to build immunity and resistance and overall good physical health. Anyone who experiences restlessness or dryness or insomnia, difficulty sleeping during the autumn season, a very simple recipe is a bowl of warm pumpkin soup prepared with some ghee or Indian clarified butter, some cumin, some ginger. And we may not have tasted this before, but it's a really fabulous warm, kind of velvety, grounding, sweet vegetable soup. So the sweetness, the mild sweetness with ground of vata balances vata. And the spices then will promote your digestion or give it a little kickstart to your digestion, which can be a little bit erratic, your digestive fire. Because this can happen in a vata imbalance or during the vata season where our digestion gets a little out of kilter. And Ayurveda refers as such respect for pumpkin, it describes it as the food of serenity. It nourishes our body without dulling. It grounds our body without feeling this heaviness or this stagnation. And it restores the balance after the balance by the cooling effect after the heat of summer. So that's pumpkin. Certainly, I think pumpkin is one of my favorite autumn vegetables. Even though it is a trouble and a hassle to prepare it because of the peeling and the chopping and so on, it more than rewards when you finish a dish. Whether you can make a pumpkin curry, you can roast pumpkin in the oven, you can make a pumpkin soup like this. You can make pumpkin desserts with pumpkin pie. But that's another step for me, I'm afraid. But certainly, it's a very versatile vegetable this time of the year. Now, the other vegetable that is often mentioned in Ayurvedic text is called the gourd. Now, the gourd I had to look this up because I'd heard of different types of gourd, bitter gourd, particularly it's used in Indian cooking. But there are many other versions there, bottle gourd, ash gourd, and ridge gourd. And they have been used in Ayurvedic cuisine for many, many centuries. And they have been analyzed and have been very familiar with their effects. But if you think about gourd you may not be familiar with the gourds that I've mentioned, but also within this family are that you will see in UK shops and shelves are the beetroot, even the Brussels sprouts, and the melons, the courgettes, and particularly the butternut squash. That's prolific even all year round, but certainly this time of the year. Now, their rasa, their taste is regarded as sweet and astringent. So we can see straight away they will balance the pitta. Their qualities are light and unctuous, so similar to the pumpkin. They're regarded as light. If you think about, not a pumpkin specifically, but a gourd, if you pick it up, it may be solid on the outside, but inside you can feel there's a kind of hollowness to it. So that's where the lightness comes from. And when you prepare the meat, or the flesh of the vegetables, they will have that slightly unctuous quality. They're kind of... They're not so oily, but kind of viscous, if that makes sense. And their energetics are cooling. So they cool the system. They pacify pitta. And they also have the additional effect of a cleansing action because of this astringent taste. The astringent things help us with cleansing and detoxing within the body, particularly the body channels and tissues. They also reduce inflammation and support the liver and urinary function. So in this way, they help pitta, which is associated with excess inflammation, and they help vata as well because of vata's is involved with the process of excretion of downward movement of from the kidneys. Now, a classic simple Ayurvedic preparation is bottled gourd or a gourd vegetable simmered with ginger, coriander, and a hint of rock salt. So that that in this way, the warming spices of the ginger and the rock salt
will balance the vegetable's cooling nature. So it's perfect for autumn evenings when the chill is coming in, it's getting colder. It's light and digestible, and it's cleansing as well.
So this is a reminder that a purification or a detoxification can be done in a home environment or a home setting, and it can be gentle without having to be too severe and harsh. And again, it demonstrates how Ayurveda, understanding foods and spices and herbs from an Ayurvedic point of view, can help. You can adjust the qualities or the effects of the vegetables by adding the spices in to balance in that way if required. Another common vegetable that we see in the garden this time of the year would be spinach. Our spinach and chard is another good example, a different type of Swiss chard. And spinach, of course, has always had a reputation as a superfood. If you only think of when I was growing up, Popeye, it was his favourite food for vitality and strength. Not an 8-ounce steak, but spinach. And it's no different in the Ayurvedic tradition. So that makes me begin to think that these beliefs are deep-rooted within our kind of collective memories. Spinach is called palak in Sanskrit, and it's abundant in minerals and chlorophyll. And it's in Ayurveda, it's regarded as a source of prana, or the life force that we need to ingest to keep us healthy and well. The taste of spinach and these types of greens, these you might call them bitter greens, is bitter and astringent. The qualities of spinach, if you pick it up and buy it in the shop, it's light. The packet is light. If you buy it in a packet, if you buy it loose, you can feel the light texture and the roughness. And it's rough and dry. Its energetics are cooling, and its vipaka, or its post-digestive effect, is pungent, which you might notice if you had a lot of spinach. You might be more inclined to burp or belch later on after an hour or two after your meal. Spinach is regarded as having an effect of purifying the blood, and it enhances liver function, much like the gourd, and improves muscular function and structure. So overall, it balances and potentiates or improves the pitta dosha. But because it has these astringent and bitter qualities, it may aggravate vata if cooked, if not cooked with spices, or if consumed plain. So in Ayurveda, it's always recommended to cook spinach with a little ghee or butter, in our culture, or sesame oil, which is heating, and warming spices such as garlic, cumin, mustard seeds. Now, this offsets the cooling energy and it makes it more digestible for people with a vata constitution or if your digestion is a bit erratic. So it's again, when you eat mindfully, when you eat spinach mindfully, it could offer clarity of thought and a lightness in your body. It's a vegetable that embodies both purification and renewal within us, like a green cleansing food, and can be also nourishing and fills you up as well. Now, I'll take a short break now, as I'm a little talked out, and you might want to break yourselves just before I finish up with the last few vegetables and some closing thoughts. I'll see you in a few minutes.
The station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio. The station that makes you feel good.
So welcome back to the show, Ayurveda, the Science of Life. In today's episode, I'm discussing the autumn vegetables we see this time of the year that are harvested, grown and harvested this time of the year, and thinking about them from an Ayurvedic perspective and how they help us balance the vata dosha at this time of the year. They're sent here. They're not random. Nature has provided us with them at this time of the year for specific reasons to help us with to negotiate the transition from summer to autumn and the changeable nature of autumn into the end of the year and the coldness of winter. So just a brief note, I was talking about the gourd vegetables early on. If you think about gourd, I've forgotten that the shape of the gourd is like an inverted kind of clock in some ways. It's the you'd imagine in the ancient days they used gourds to empty gourds to fill as containers and attach them to their belts. So they're like an upside down tennis racket, almost that shape. So anything with that shape, a butternut squash is a good example, even though it's been homogenized a little bit to have less of a gourd shape, more of a full cylinder shape. Those are the type of vegetables that would fall into the gourd family particularly. Now, the next vegetable, I've spoken already about the gourd families, the pumpkin, of course, my favorite, spinach, which are all the bitter greens we see quite a lot in autumn time. The next one is beetroot. Now, beetroot is regarded in Ayurveda as the root of rejuvenation. It's particularly associated with naturally the pitta dosha because of the color. It's deep crimson and sweet in its taste. So it's like a gift to our blood system. It's got the parallels, the microcosm and the macrocosm. So it reflects in its characteristics the color of our blood within us. Its rasa, our taste, again, is sweet and bitter. Its qualities are heavy and snigda, are unctuous, and its energetics, its overall energetics, is cooling. And the late effect of it, the late post-digestive effect, is sweet. So we're getting a sweet taste later on after we've eaten an hour or two later. Now, beetroot has always been thought of as nourishing what's called the rakta dhatu. This is the tissue of the blood. And this is associated with the pitta dosha, the blood tissue. It builds ojas, or this immune resilience that is the vital essence of our digestion at the end of that process. And in doing so, sustains our vitality and strength. It pacifies pitta and vata, but can slightly increase kapha if taken in excess. So when you cook it with ghee, clarified butter, cumin, which is a common digestive spice, and cinnamon, which is a warming spice, this enhances, it kind of has an additive effect on steadying your emotions and strengthening your digestion. So once again, you're looking at using the spices to help balance the effects of the food itself. Just to adjust it slightly. Roasting is a good example of a way that preparing beetroot works very well. Very simple to do. It's also a mild laxative, so it can help relieve dryness and bowel motion, irregularity, constipation, that frequently accompanies a vata imbalance. An Ayurvedic practitioner have often described it as a food for the heart. So the blood and the heart are the same, are in a similar system. Cardiovascular system is the system where blood is pumped around the body. So there's an association between beetroot and heart. And if you think about even the appearance of beetroot, the beetroot vegetable can look a little bit like a human heart. It might seem like a little bit of a flight of fancy to think of that. But this is how in the ancient days they would have been able to explain or use these imageries or these similarities to explain their teachings. So it has a rich color, and it speaks of circulation of the blood and of vitality and vividness. And its sweetness is also grounding. As a, you know, the beetroot is a vegetable that grounds deep, and it's a root vegetable, and it has that earthy connection to the soil that you need, this grounding effect for vata at this time of the year. So beetroot's another one to think about in the group of autumn vegetables. And think of it as a rejuvenator. The next one, another one that's very popular in many parts of the world, but not so commonly seen here, even though it is for sale, we tend to know about it. And this is the sweet potato. Now, sweet potato is autumn's most reliable friend. It really is a vegetable that's almost, you could have, if you had to design a blueprint for an autumn vegetable, sweet potato would hit nearly every spot. So their rasa, or their taste profile, is sweet. Their guna is heavy. Think about if you lift a sweet potato off the shelf, it's a heavy, solid vegetable. And snigda, once again, unctuous, or kind of lubricating, oily, viscous, that type of quality. And their virya, or their energetics, is warming. And their vipaka, or their post-digestive effect, is sweet, like their initial taste. And sweet potato is unusual that it can nourish all seven tissue levels, or dhatus, especially the plasma, which is the first, and the muscle. It has an affinity for nourishing both these tissue levels. It also has been observed to calm the nervous system and supports restful sleep. And it can kindle, or it can enhance the digestive power without making your pitta dosha worse, giving you symptoms of indigestion, rethinks, and heartburn. So it's very useful for vata types if we think about the qualities and the taste profile that it has. It provides stability and comfort. When we think about sweet potato pie and those dishes that we may have heard it from America particularly, but they give you that idea of real comfort food. If you eat sweet potato mash with ghee added in, or even butter added in, nutmeg and cardamom spices, and roasted with a bit of honey and cinnamon. This is when you really begin to understand that food can be medicine, as much as medicine is like a food. So this aphorism that is going back thousands of years before Hippocrates, that is associated with Ayurveda and Ayurvedic scholars that have said that food be your medicine and medicine be your food. And really promoting the importance of food as a way to stay healthy. Now, Ayurveda says that food can carry an emotional taste or an emotional quality. And sweet potato is a good example of a food that brings a sense of contentment. So it's helpful at this time of the year when we're heading into winter, we know what's ahead, we need that kind of hunkering down, a contentment feeling to just get us through the end of the year to winter. And lastly, I'll discuss celeriac. Celeriac is one that it comes into the house every so often and we don't quite know what to do with it, which is such a shame because it is a wonderful example of an autumnal vegetable that can help by nourishing, by clearing ama or toxins that they accumulate in the body over we're out of balance in the vata dosha. Now, celeriac, it's a celery root. The taste is sweet, slightly bitter and sour, so it has a kind of an unusual taste profile. The qualities would be heavy and rough. You think about celeriac, if you've ever peeled it, it's a bit gnarly and heavy in the front. The heavy to lift and rough and gnarly on the outer skin. And the overall virya, or energetic, is cooling. And the post-digestive effect is sweet or sour. So it's regarded as balancing all three doshas. So we can see there that it's a very kind of safe vegetable to work with if we're unsure about which dosha we're going to increase or decrease. And with regards to cooking it, it's always, you often see it in restaurants used as a mash.
And that's probably at this time of the year, the most appropriate way to use it, adding in ghee or spices, fennel seeds, parsley, thyme, nutmeg. All of these work well with mashed fennel. And this helps. Or adding it to stews and soups is another way to take it at this time of the year, which can balance the vata within us. And there are other autumnal crops. I could go on, but I have to keep it within the ones that are most associated with this autumnal season, are carrots, turnips, squash, kale, and cabbage. Carrots, they are similar to sweet potato in that they have a sweet taste and are warming in their energetics. They are regarded as light to digest and are perfectly are good for vata in this respect, as they have a grounding quality as well. If you think about how carrots grow out of the ground, they share that characteristic in their effect and their qualities. And turnips as well are slightly pungent, but they can help reduce excess kapha, and they can, by their pungent and taste, they can stimulate your digestion. And they are regarded as good for healthy elimination. And squash is very similar to pumpkin. It balances vata and cools pitta. A kale and cabbage are slightly different in that they can disturb vata because of their rough and dry qualities. But if you steam them, like I mentioned before, or you likely fry them with some sesame oil, is a good example of a heating oil, or some digestive spices such as cumin, fennel, turmeric, you can help improve the digestion. So once again, Ayurveda encourages to have a variety in our choice of foods, that no single food is going to meet all the needs that you might have at that moment of time. And the key is in the preparation, how we transform, say, I'd use the word process, but how we transform vegetables with the warmth of the cooking, the oils that we use, the herbs and the spices, and above all, developing an intention and an awareness and a respect of the vegetable, the food, the vegetable particularly, where it came from, how it was harvested, whether it's in season, what are the qualities and energetics, and how can I balance these as I prepare the dish. I'm not an expert by any means, but the more you think about it, the more it becomes automatic, habitual for you to have that, to try and develop that understanding. And it can only improve your experience of cooking and your experience of eating and digestion. And lastly, to talk about cooking as a meditation or a therapy in itself, because sometimes it can be seen as a chore. But in Ayurveda, cooking is regarded as a sacred act called anasamskara, the transformation of food into consciousness. This is a leap or a flight of fancy for us Westerners who think in a rational, scientific way. But in Ayurveda, they understood that food would be transformed through the body tissues and layers, and from then work its way into our consciousness or into our minds, which are deeper psyche, so to speak. So the importance of food is so sacred in Ayurveda, and the preparation of it and the consuming of it are equally important. So we, to prepare a meal, is to manage this energy that the foods have and how we can transform this energy into ourselves, so that we become more energetic, we have more vitality, and we maintain the health that we desire. So if you think about it, when you're cooking and you're distracted and you're not focused, things don't go well, of course. A calm mind is what you need, and an awareness and consideration even of the food you're cooking, that how you're going to get the best out of it, because the food is there as an offering. It's there as a blessing, and you want to maximize the potential of that gift that we get. And to cook in stillness and with gratitude, I think that's the most important thing to be, and to that this is really and using
our spices in appropriate ways, the ginger, the cumin, the fennel, the cinnamon, all these spices that are so useful in the autumn time when we need that warming, we need that enhancement of our digestion if things are a little bit erratic and out of kilter. So in general, a general advice for this time of the year would be to obviously avoid cold salads and dry foods. I prepared a potato salad yesterday to eat with a lovely dish of baked salmon and garden peas, and it was a dreadful mistake. It was cold, the kitchen was cold. I just thought I'd made a total mistake. It really didn't go well at all at this time of year. But soups, stews, roasted dishes that moisten the tissues that may be dry within us and that nourish the body and ground the body. These are the types of foods you want this time of year. And remembering that in Ayurveda, it's not about restricting. It's about aligning with rhythms of nature and season. And the three most important pillars of health in Ayurveda are diet, sleep, and lifestyle, in that order. So developing that routine around self-massage, warm water in the morning with some gentle spices, maybe some ginger or some lemon. Eating your main meals midday when your digestive powers are strongest. Setting routines for bed and sleep time, particularly as we head into the shorter evenings. And having moments of stillness in the day where we can focus on our breath and just awareness of being mindful. So there's so many things in Ayurveda that I could discuss. But for this show, to recap, where do we have our next meal this time of year? Take a moment and just look at what's on the plate. If you have some pumpkin, if you have some beetroot, some spinach, or if you've got some sweet potato, the colours and the contrasts that are on your plate. And think about the qualities of these food, the effects of these food, the energetics of these food, and how they will work within your body. Create a connection so that you understand that this is so important for your body, not only your body, your mind, and ultimately your spirit, so that you can connect the macrocosm, the outside world, to the inside world of yourself, your body, your mind, and reap the biggest reward you can from the food that you prepare. So I finish up with my last messages, and I hope you've enjoyed the show and the content. I'll see you all again next week. Tune in again next week for more discussion about Ayurveda. There's always loads to discuss. You can find more information on my website, annamayurveda.com, which is annam spelled A-N-A-M hyphen A-U-R-V-E-D-A.com. Annam is the Irish word for soul. Until then, as we say in Irish, Croí Fholláin, Fad Saol. Healthy heart, long life. Take care.